Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Know what's happening? It's time to get in the huddle with Carl Duke, Brian Baldinger, and Jason Lockenforta.
Back for another edition of In the Huddle. Carl Dukes, put him up along with my man Brian Baldinger. And Baldy, we are here. Of course, Jason Lockenforta, part of this podcast as well. He has some things he had to deal with today because he wanted to be here. Because of course, it's Super Bowl 59, and it's a big one because the Chiefs are chasing history. The Eagles are very familiar with this team, playing them just 2 years ago and, you know, losing a heartbreaker, a three-point game, which, Baldy, look, we're going to talk about this game every which way, but, you know, that we possibly can. But I think this is also another close game on Sunday. But before we get into the game, let's talk about some of the things that are going on around the NFL. Once we get past Sunday, guys, it's official. The offseason has started. We'll be counting down to the combine and all the offseason activities. And then, of course, the draft. So things get always interesting in the offseason. But it's already kind of started for Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
So he puts out a statement and requests a trade. Now, I know he was in New Orleans yesterday. I actually played some of that sound on my show where he talked to, I think, Rich Eisen about this whole situation, Baldy. And, look, he sounds like he's got a clear head. He understands what this is. And he's trying to go about it the right way. But – I think when people say, all right, well, why does Myles Garrett want out? Let's start there. Why does he want out?
Well, I think he's just looking at the organization. He's looking at – I know that they were in the playoffs, you know, just last year. But I think he's looking at the organization going, is this where I want to spend the prime years of my career? He's just put up his fourth straight year of 14-plus sacks. Nobody's ever done that before. He's unique. And, you know, he wants that chance. He wants that chance that, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles are giving their players, Lane Johnson. He wants that chance that Kansas City is giving their players. He wants that chance to have a chance to compete. He knows that, you know, I mean, they got kind of lucky with Joe Flacco getting them off the couch last year. But he knows they're not going anywhere without a proven quarterback, one that can consistently win. And they haven't been able to produce that. And so he's just looking around going, I'm right in my prime. Do I want to – like, I love Cleveland. They've been good to me. They've treated me well. But maybe it's time to go find some other place where I have a chance to play in January and maybe in February and have a chance for championships. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to him for.
It's interesting because he said yesterday that he called LeBron James to pick his brain a little bit about, you know, these kinds of situations. Obviously, there's probably nobody better or that has done it more. You know, as a professional athlete in recent time and executed it and handled it as better, you know, than LeBron. But I thought that was interesting because he said, I wanted to talk to him about Cleveland and being from Ohio and then, you know, this transition. Look, I like Myles Garrett a lot. I've known him, you know, since his days at A&M. He's a tremendous player. And the thing is, Baldy, it's going to cost some team at least 2 first-round picks, right, to get him, at least. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, he's the reigning defensive player of the year. And who knows? He might win it again this year. We won't know until tonight, I guess, at the honors party.
That's right.
But, you know, he's got that next to his name. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be costly. But we have seen teams do that for coaches. We have seen teams do that for wide receivers. We have seen it do – teams have done that in the past. I've looked at this year's draft coming out. I mean, maybe Abdul Carter is going to be some great player. Nobody knows. But we're getting Myles Garrett healthy in the prime of his career. And so it just takes one team. But I would imagine more than one team is going to make the phone call to see what it would take to pry Myles Garrett, you know, free and from that situation. And maybe, who knows, maybe Cleveland decide. I don't know what they're going to decide here. I really don't. But if I was Cleveland, I wouldn't let him go. But I also would listen to what some team has to offer as well.
I know some of our folks who watch this podcast, and we thank you guys. Make sure you check us out in the Huddle Pod. You can watch us live on YouTube and check out the podcast. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You may think two first rounds for Myles Garrett is a lot. Just to put it in context, Jalen Ramsey in 2019 when Ramsey was traded, two first. Laremy Tunzel, two first. Khalil Mack, two first. So that's the going rate when you start talking about this level of player. And Baldy, I think Myles Garrett's better than those guys at this point in his career when you start talking about, you know, where he's at. Jamal Adams was traded for two firsts. So that's kind of the precursor to, hey, how do we go about this and what's this going to cost? I do want to add one other thing about the Myles Garrett deal potentially, and that is if they do this before June 1st, there's a huge cap number attached to this for the Browns. So it's almost better if they wait, but then I think they may lose leverage because the timing of it. Yes. So, you know, we're talking about 36.
If they're going to do a call, they got to do it before the draft.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, you know, but the probably negotiated is crazy.
Probably even before free agency starts, you know, I mean, maybe in conjunction with free agency, but I believe that, you know, there's some, I've been to Mobile, I've been to the Senior Bowl. There's some very good defensive line talent in this draft. You know, you saw what the Rams did with Jared Verse last year. He might be the defensive rookie of the year this year. He's a very good prospect. They got him, you know, somewhere in the 20s. You know, Myles Garrett, though, is, you know, he's just that proven guy. So if somebody wants to, if they feel they're a Myles Garrett away from making a run in the playoffs or from building a championship-level defense, and he would be a cornerstone, then there's going to be some interest out there.
Yeah, look, Garrett, you said it, reigning defensive player of the year. Watt, Parsons, Crosby, we love all these dudes, right? Hutchinson's coming back. They're all great edge guys, but Myles Garrett is going to command a lot. It's in the Huddle, guys. Let's talk about what's going on with the Rams before we get into some Super Bowl conversation, and that's Cooper Kupp. So they're going to move him or they're going to keep him?
Well, he's an expensive piece. You know, and really, you know, when Puka Nacua came in last year as a rookie and kind of supplanted him, they had their go-to guy, and he's been that guy. Now, Cooper is still a very good player, but he has missed a lot of time since he won the Triple Crown 3 years ago, yards, catches, touchdowns, and they won the Super Bowl. He's missed a lot of time with injuries, and they probably just don't feel like $20 million is something that they're willing to pay right now. We saw DeMarcus Robinson step up for him this year. We saw Tutu Atwell at times step up. And so I just don't feel like they want to put those kind of resources into the wide receiver position. Do they want to lose him? No way. But at the same time, you know, there is an economics to this whole game right here, and that's what it's about right now. If they could get him at a cheaper price, I'm sure they would put that offer to Cooper out there, knowing what kind of person, what kind of contributor he has been. But at the same time, I'm sure Cooper doesn't want to just give up money for the home team right now. So there's a lot at stake right here. But I think at the end of the day, I'm not sure anybody's willing to pay $20 million for Cooper Kupp right now. And so they might end up just releasing him and you know, and just saving the money that way.
I'm actually more curious to see if Matthew Stafford is back. Because to me, that's a bigger question. I mean, listen, I love Cooper Kupp too. Like you're right. But if Stafford's not there, that to me is the void that you're going to have to fill. I'm sure Sean McVay has a plan, but Stafford has already said, I want to come back. And now people are trying to link him, Baldy, to the Raiders. You know, they have him going all these different places because they don't feel like he may be back with L.A. Do you feel like he'll be back there?
I do. We all watched him in the snow against Philadelphia when the season ended, but he certainly made his share of throws in that game in that weather where you go, why wouldn't he come back? I mean, we saw him play a great game that day and have a very good season and get the Rams to the playoffs for, you know, third straight year with him. Like, I just feel like he still can play at a very high level. And I think the Rams will continue to build their offensive line and strengthen it. I thought the center played really well this year in Bo Limmer. And so, I mean, if I was Matt Stafford, I'd want to come back and I'd want to play for Sean McVay. Does Sean McVay want Matt Stafford back? I don't think he wants anybody else but Matt Stafford. And that's without being inside the walls with Les Snead and Sean McVay and, you know, the brass there with the Rams. But I feel like he's going to be back for another year.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Sunday, we've got the Chiefs, who are 17-2, who are trying to become the first team to win three straight Super Bowls. We've got the Eagles, who are 17-3, who are trying to get a little redemption from the last time they were in this particular spot. And we have a lot of, a lot of similar characters, right? The names are the same in many places, but some of the names have changed. So let's start there. This is a rematch. And everybody thinks, okay, rematch. If you're a casual football fan and you don't pay that hardcore attention, these two teams have changed. This is not the Chiefs team that won 2 years ago against this Eagles team. For the most part, the receiving core, some of the defensive pieces. And it's certainly not the Eagles defense that we saw that led the league in sacks. And Baldy, I want to start there, because is this defense better than the one we saw in the Super Bowl 2 years ago that was killing everybody and getting after the quarterback, but yet Patrick Mahomes makes a play with his legs and they ultimately win the football game?
I think they're better. Now they had Fletcher Cox, they had Hassan Reddick. They had Brandon Graham healthy. He might come back and play in this game.
Right.
If you're listening to the reports out there. But, I thought, 70 sacks, like, they got after. Now they played on the surface in Arizona, where, it looked like more of a skating pond than it did a frozen skating pond than a football field at times, and it sort of negated some of their abilities. But I think they're better now. I think they're better at right corner with Quinion Mitchell than James Bradbury. They're better in the slot right now with Cooper DeJean. They're better at defensive. I don't know. Jonathan Gannon was a good coach. I don't want to belittle Jonathan Gannon. Yeah, but I think they're much better at linebacker with Zach Bond right now. I think they're better at all three levels. They've taken the ball away in these three postseason games 10 times.
Yep.
And they haven't turned it over. They're plus 10 in turnover ratio in these games. It's a crazy stat. There's a lot of crazy stats. I mean, we could go on and on and on with stats, leading up to this game. But, they've perfected the peanut punch. We've seen Jalen Carter and Zach Bond, and Oren Burks, with that peanut punch.
Yeah.
And it's turned into their favor right now. So I think they're better right now. I think they take the ball away better. I think they're more sound. And I think they're healthy right now with what they've got. They've got a young Nolan Smith who's really coming on. And Jalen Carter, now second year, is a bona fide star player at his position. So, I think they're much better now than they were 2 years ago defensively.
I agree. And look, both of these teams, when you start talking about the over-under and what the number is, you see it there, 48.5. Chiefs are favored by 1.5 points. I do like the under in this game because I do think these defenses are that good. And it could easily be, a 20-17, 24-17 kind of game. But we also know the Chiefs scored 32 points last time they played, and it was the first time they did that all season. So when needed, they can also put points on the board. They needed to do that against Buffalo. As you look at the Chiefs defense, because I agree with you, I think the Eagles defense is better this time around. But here we are again talking about Patrick Mahomes and Kelsey and all this other stuff, when in reality, it's Spags. It's Chris Jones. It's these guys on the other side of the ball, Baldy, that really get it done for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, not just that, but they can do it in a variety of ways. We saw, if you go back to last year, we all remember AFC Championship game in Baltimore. They put those three big linebackers out there on the field. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about Nick Bolton and Drew Tranquil and Leo Chenal, and Baltimore didn't have great success running it early, and they got away from it. And they're definitely – you go back and you watch – you watch them against Baltimore this year.
Right.
First game of the season. And there they are. There's those linebackers right there. And they're stuffing Derrick Henry. And, you know, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to do the same thing against Philadelphia. And they're going to see if Saquon can run into that wall. I mean, nobody really plays three linebackers more than Spags. He's got the guys to do it. They're healthy. They know their roles. Chenal is like a defensive lineman at linebacker. You know, he's probably the strongest guy on the team, pound for pound. So they have the ability to go up there against teams that want to, you know, want to run it at you. They have the ability to at least go toe-to-toe with you and maybe take you out of that run game. Now, we'll see if Philadelphia, who's run it 725 times this year, Carl.
Yeah.
The postseason, 20 games. Only the Raiders in 76, only the Bears in 85. They're the only teams that have run it more in a season than the Eagles have. It's what they want to do. If you take out that Week 16 game where Jalen Hurts got hurt in the first quarter against the Commanders, he's 13-0 in his last 13 starts. And, you know, he's averaging 21 passes a game. If they throw it 21, 22, 23 times in this game against Kansas City, they're winning this game. They're playing their style of football. So Ken Spags, get him out of that style, get him away from pounding Saquon, and get Jalen Hurts to throw it, where maybe he makes a mistake or maybe he's not on. That's what Spags has the ability to do.
Yeah, it's interesting because Saquon, you know, the number for him in one of these prop bets is, you know, I think it's 130 yards or something crazy like that. And you're going, wait a minute, this guy ran for over 2,000 yards. But then you start looking at Super Bowl history.
Yeah.
All these great backs. Marcus Allen didn't do it. John Riggs didn't do it, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, you start looking at the running backs, the great backs that have been in these games. You're telling me he's going to go for 130 yards. I'm telling you the Eagles win if he's over 130 yards because then he's crushing it. So let's talk about the opposite side of that because as much as you're talking about Saquon and how the Kansas City Chiefs defense may approach this and run blitzes and all this stuff that people are talking about, on the other side of that, I get a sense – and, you know, I went back and watched a couple of games, Baldy, and look, Kansas City to me, they run it to keep you honest. They're not running it to, like, pound you like the Ravens or pound you like the Eagles, but then they still are able to get their other stuff in. And so, you know, you look at the running backs, right? Pacheco and all these guys are healthy now and everybody's back. Do they shake things up a little bit and go, you know what, maybe we run a little bit more?
Well, you know, a couple of things. One, I went to Andy Reid's opening press conference in 1999, when he was the head coach of the Eagles. I met him for the first time that day. And his philosophy since that day is, I come out of the tunnel throwing football. Now, I think he will in this game. We'll see how he does it.
Right.
Well, you know, in that last Super Bowl 2 years ago, Patrick Mahomes had that bad ankle. He was pretty limited. And they came out in the second half down 10 points. And Andy Reid, I remember talking to Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and the guys up front. The halftime speech was, we're going to run it, guys, in this third quarter. And they did. They ran it right down the throat. Now, they hit – you know, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore on touchdowns in the fourth quarter to take the lead and open the game up. But they ran it really well. And so the potential to do that, you know, depending on, you know, situations and all that, they can do that. I've asked Andy if he can morph into a power running football team. He kind of just, you know, laughs.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they want to throw it. And, you know, it's you know, you talk about 2 years ago. I mean, you know, there is no Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore isn't there. Rashee Rice got hurt. And, you know, they found different guys, whether it's Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Nuke, you know, all these other guys. Noah Gray has been a good performer for him. So, you know, they're going to throw it to the open player. They're going to find their formations. They're going to find some weakness in the Eagles' defense and try to exploit it.
Brian Baldinger, Carl Dukes, Jason Lock on four, part of this podcast as well. Follow us. We invite you to see what's going on. And more importantly, we talk ball. It's about Super Bowl 59 as we get ready for the big game on Sunday in New Orleans. As we talk about all aspects of this game, and everybody wants to make it about Mahomes and Hurts, and, you know, that's easy. I get it. You mentioned he's 13-0 if he, you know, doesn't get knocked out of that game, and I think that's a hell of a stat. The other thing about Jalen Hurts, though, is he's not turning it over, Baldy. He's willing to take sacks even when – The play may be there. He'll take a sack instead of throwing it into danger.
It's unbelievable, Carl. how he's playing. You know, they lost to Tampa week four badly in Tampa. And he turned it over, and he turned it over the week before against New Orleans. And since then, and he turned over, you know, two interceptions against Green Bay down in São Paulo, Brazil. But since then, since that week four debacle in New Orleans, they had the bye week the following week. He's thrown one interception since week four, and he's fumbled once. Now, that's 13 games he's turned it over two times. And you're right. He took a safety rather than turning it over against the Rams. He'll take sacks, which we saw when he was banged up, you know, the championship game. He'll do just about anything but put the ball in harm's way. It's not that he's still not aggressive, but he understands how costly turnovers are. And sometimes these games, especially if it's played tight and, you know, if it's an eight-possession game, if it is, I mean, Kansas City has had 15 possessions in their two playoff games. That's not a lot.
No.
So if it's an eight possession game and you turn it over once and you miss a field, like all of a sudden the opportunities to score, they really shrink. And so he's thought about all of this stuff. He's very calculating. He's calculating in his press conference.
Yes, he is.
He's a calculated guy. It's who he is. But he understands I've got a championship level defense. I've got the MVP that I can hand the ball off to. I've got the best offensive line in football. He knows his role, and it upsets Philadelphia Eagle fans. Eagle fans think that he can't read defenses. He can't do this. They'll tell you all the shortcomings they think he has. He's fine with all of that. The noise is just noise. He's there to win championships. And if it means throwing it 20 times and taking sacks and punting because the game is tight, then he's going to do it. Now, the Eagles have not been playing from behind during much of the stretch. You know, they haven't been down 10 points in any of this 13 games. If they do get like that, you know, what happens and how does he compete and what's the challenge at that point?
We got to talk about the offensive line matchup. You mentioned the Eagles' defensive front. So Joe Tooney, been All-Pro 3 years, here in All-Pro in a row. Played left guard, but hadn't played left guard since he left North Carolina State.
Yeah.
And then, you know, here's what's interesting to me, Baldy. So week 15, he plays against Myles Garrett, zero sacks. Yep. TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, zero sacks. Next week, this is week 15, 16, 17, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter with the Houston Texans, zero sacks. But everybody keeps telling me this is the weakness of the Chiefs and where they can be exploited and where you can get after Patrick Mahomes. But Joe has stepped in there, and he's playing the best of the best here the last part of the season, and he's not giving up sacks. So is this an area where you think, all right, this may be a concern for the Chiefs considering the front for the Eagles?
Well, they're not as strong inside as they were when it was Tooney, Creed, Humphrey, Trey Smith. They're not as strong. And I'm not knocking Caliendo, who's come in there to play left guard. But, you know, they're not only – he gave up – I mean, I think Tooney gave up a sack in the playoff game against Houston. But regardless.
Maybe one, but crazy.
He feels much better – much more protected on his backside right now. The other thing, and where the stats, you know, don't show this, is they have committed far fewer penalties at that position. The rookie and, you know, Wanya Morris, they were committing a lot of penalties, and they were constantly being put in negative situations. Tooney's not committing penalties. And so he's a very solid player. He's not an all-pro left tackle, but he's very, very solid. It really fixed the position. I think it's weakened the left guard position a little bit, but they're much better right now with Tooney out there at left tackle, and that's why he stayed out there.
How hard is it to go from guard to tackle? We take for granted, like, all these guys are flexible. You know, we hear this all the time. I do, you know, with guys and coaches I talk to, cross training. Okay, I get it. In case of an emergency, but you're not just going to go from being an all-pro guard to moving out to left tackle and then being an all-pro left tackle. It's hard, Baldy, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it is. I've done that. I've done that exact same move, left guard to left tackle. I've done it right guard to right tackle. I mean, I've had to make that move when I was a swing guy backing up in my career. And, you know, it's not easy, but at the same time, you start working on different techniques. You know, I mean, you just start training yourself to be in that position. And, Andy Heck, the offensive line coach, they come to Joe and they're like, Joe, this is the best option. This is the best thing for the team.
Right.
The team. And Joe, you know, Tony's like, I'm going to do whatever's best for the team. If they came to me and they said, you know, let's move you out to left tackle, you do what's best for the team. And then you work on practice, you know, against, you know, the Karloftis and Mike Dana, and you start working on different looks. And, you know, when you go against – I remember that first game against Myles Garrett. And I posted a breakdown of what he did against Myles. And everybody was like, I looked at PFF and he gave up pressure. To me. What I love to do, and I'm not
PFF.
But I'm like, I just look at when the quarterback releases the ball, where's Myles Garrett? Well, Patrick Mahomes got the ball off, and Myles Garrett might have been breathing down his neck, but he got the ball off. So, you know, that was the test. Like, they put him out there against the best of the best, and he held up just fine. And they gave him a little bit of help, but not every down. He was asking, you know, Andy wants to get five guys out in the route.
Right.
You know, that's his philosophy. That's West Coast football right there. So, you know, I thought Tooney, like, he stood tall. And, you know, it's funny because I remember I kind of put myself in that position. He looks like a guard playing tackle.
Yes.
He doesn't have the frame and the long arms and right. the stuff you're looking for. And he kind of gets in his stance. He looks like a left guard out there until, you know, he gets in position and he's very, very good. He'll see Josh Sweat for the majority of Sunday out there. Josh Sweat's a good player, really good player. So, you know, it's going to be a good challenge for him.
Yeah, I'm curious to see that battle. We talked about it going into the AFC Championship game and how important
the other battle, Carl. The other battle on that side is really Trey Smith, who is going to become the highest paid guard in football once free agency happens, whether the Chiefs pay it or somebody else pays it.
Yeah.
Like he's come in there as a 6th-round pick. He was knocked because he had blood clots in his leg coming out of Tennessee. He's done his lineup, played every game for the Chiefs. He's going up against Jalen Carter. So that matchup is worth, you know, the price of inflated StubHub prices.
Well, Carter's push, though, that, I mean, Baldy, we saw him slap a guy. We saw him slap a guy, and the guy collapsed like it was a WWE match, you know, with a helmet on. This guy had a helmet on.
So you've known Jalen, obviously, since the University of Georgia. You knew what kind of talent he had. This is folklore, but it's true. His rookie year, last year, in training camp, he broke a sled. He broke a sled, Carl. Like, he hit the thing so hard and lifted it and pounded it.
Crazy.
He broke the sled. And, like, he got a standing ovation. Like, didn't have to push the sled anymore. Like, you know, the guys will tell you. Fletcher Cox will tell you. Lane Johnson will tell you. You know, Mekhi Becton. The guys have to see him every day in practice. And they're around him. Like, the amount of power that he can generate is really second to none. And then nobody's plays more snaps at defense tackle this whole league than Jalen Carter. He rarely even comes off the field. It's remarkable, his talent and his conditioning and his love of the game.
Yeah, the condition, you're right, because that was even a question. We forget people were questioning his condition.
Because you know, I mean, you know, they rotated guys at Georgia. They were just that deep. And so you didn't know, could he play 60, 70% of the snaps. Well, he's above 90% of the snaps during the course of the season.
Baldy, let's talk about the Eagles wide receivers real quick. A.J. Brown, wild card game, 10 yards. Next week, 14 yards. Gets to the championship game, 98 yards and a touchdown, right? Put the book down.
Yeah.
Then you look at Super Bowl 57 2 years ago, and Devontae Smith, seven catches for 100 yards. But he's also been quiet in these playoffs for the most part. So is this a coming out party? Look, I think A.J. Brown is just like a sleeping giant. He can show up at any moment and take a game over. We know that. But I just feel like as quiet as they've been, even with the game he had in the championship game, it feels like, you know what, maybe these guys come alive. And I think for Devontae – you know, Smith in that Super Bowl, that was like a vindicating moment, right? It was sort of like, okay, we picked him. He was the right guy. He's showing up in a big moment. Listen, I don't know how this thing goes on Sunday, but I just find it interesting that
the numbers I thought they'd have in these playoffs, Baldy, they haven't. And yeah.
But the big part of it is, you know, they're only throwing it 22 times, 21 times a game. Right. They're just not getting the targets. Now, it's not like they're not taking shots. Like, you remember in the snow against the Rams, I mean, Jalen put one right at the pylon to A.J. Brown, and he bobbled it, just trying to score the touchdown. He took down, he went right by Marshon Lattimore in the championship game against Washington, led to a score. Both of them are capable of, huge plays. Both of them can beat man coverage. I mean, they're going to see Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson. Yeah. They're going to see Johnson out there.
Let me ask you about McDuffie. Best corner in the league right now?
Well, I think, you can't have a discussion without him because of his versatility. He can play inside. He can play outside. He can match up. He can blitz. So, there's some guys out there now that you go, and Christian Gonzalez, is he the best? Quinyon Mitchell has been outstanding in his role. So, I mean, there's some guys that are playing elite football in this league right now.
Brian Baldinger, Carl Dukes, we're talking about Super Bowl 59. I will give Jason Locke on Forrest picks because, as we said, he had something come up and he wanted to make sure that we knew that he liked the Chiefs' money line and the Chiefs over 24.5 points because we always talk about these numbers. Look, we all want entertaining game. I think we're going to get that on Sunday. I do not feel like this is going to be a blowout. And Baldy, it's rare, right, where you feel like the two best teams are actually playing in the Super Bowl. Listen, were the Ravens worthy? Yes. Was Buffalo worthy? Yes. But at the end of the day, when you watch this season, the Eagles were the best team in the NFC.
Yep.
And this team was the best team in the AFC. And it's rare that we get that now culminating at the Super Bowl where you get the best teams playing.
No, but that's what the playoffs are designed to do. There's a million stats out there for Kansas City to win this game. But there's also a lot of stats out there to say the Eagles can win this game. But I feel like when you play a 17-game schedule, you've got to survive the injuries. You got to survive, moments where you look vulnerable. Certainly the Chiefs, block a field goal to beat Denver. You go, okay. There was a lot of those one-score games. The Eagles did similar things in barely beating Cleveland, barely beating Jacksonville, all those kind of things. But, yes, over the course of the season, you get tested. And we now know that Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean are going to be great players for a long time.
Yeah.
We now know that I played against Vic Fangio when he was the linebacker coach of the Dome Patrol down here, ironically enough, in New Orleans. And he was coaching, Ricky Jackson and Pat Swilling and the guys.
Those great guys.
And so, these coaches have been tested. Kellen Moore probably becomes the head coach here of New Orleans. I mean, there's a lot of things that lead you right to New Orleans right here. But Vic Fangio is a great coach, and he has been. In fact, in two different places during his tenure, he's led the league in takeaways, in San Francisco and Chicago. And then the other side – Andy Reid, if you want to build the Mount Rushmore of coaches, he's on the Mount Rushmore. I feel like you can dig as deep as you want to get. You want to get into the weeds with stats and, measurements and metrics and all that. You can do that with both teams. But at the end, we got the two best teams.
Yeah. And, it probably, as it always does, is going to come down to a play or two.
Yeah.
It's not going to be dominating the entire game. It's going to come down to a play or two.
If you think about last year's Super Bowl game in overtime against San Francisco, there's San Francisco, the opening drive in overtime, and they blew a protection, and they've got Brandon Ayuk wide open in the end zone, and probably Purdy hits him.
Chris Jones.
Whether it's Spags causing the indecision, whether it's the blitz that came after him that caused it, whatever, Purdy couldn't get the ball to his receiver. Same thing happened last week on 4th and 5. Against Buffalo, Spags, came with a blitz, came with a look. Buffalo got a little confused. It came down to a play. And so, yes, it could be that narrow. The margin of victory can be just that narrow. It could be one play, and it might very well be that. And the team that wins usually makes the play.
Before we get out of here, Big Red has said he wants to come back next year. Not surprised, right? Not surprised.
No. No, I mean, because honestly, I mean, just because I feel like I know Andy since the beginning, like he's not a golfer. He doesn't have something like he's not going to go do TV the way we saw Bill Belichick
do TV.
He's not going to go back to college. Like, honestly, he's not going to do what Nick Saban is doing right now. He's not doing that. Like, he loves, honestly, tinkering with game plans and personnel. This is what he loves to do. And there is no he might look a little older than he did 25 years ago. None of us are the same man we were 25 years ago, Carl. Yeah. But this is what Andy loves to do. He loves this. And he's got the best player in the league, Patrick Mahomes, to do it with. And I remember listening to some NFL sound of Andy Reid sitting next to Patrick Mahomes on a football field going through the video or plays or whatever. And Patrick Mahomes he's saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir, to Andy Reid. Like, there is that respect that he hasn't lost for the coach and where he's at. And I feel like they've got the organization. Brett Veach has done a great job. Andy Reid, all he does is develop coaches and personnel people. It's more than just coaching the game. You're seeing guys that he has coached. We just saw one of his lieutenants go to become a general manager. He loves, and it comes from Mike Holmgren, who got it from Bill Walsh. Let's teach. Let's get the next generation ready. He loves that aspect of this whole industry, and nobody's better at it than Andy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, and he's two wins away. We talk about if he wins Sunday from Belichick's, you know, all-time playoff wins. It's just incredible to think, you know, he already is the winningest coach in Eagles history. We know all this stuff going into this. And so I'm with you. I don't know if he's appreciated, but as he said the other day, like, I'm not doing it for that. You know, I'm doing it because I love it. And, you know, this is what I do. So he will get all the rewards if they're able to pull this off, because it will be an incredible feat. Baldy, I do like the Eagles. I will tell you, I've been on the Eagles all week. It is hard for me to say this after watching Patrick Mahomes and knowing there was a time in Tom Brady's career where you were an idiot if you picked against him. Okay, it just was. It was like, didn't matter. You're like, you're gonna go, and that's where I feel Mahomes is. But I do like what the Eagles are doing defensively, and I think they can control this game with their run game. And if they do, they will pull off what is considered an upset, because, again, the Chiefs are favorite and they're chasing history. But that's where I'm at. I just want a good game, but I do expect a close game. But I like the Eagles.
Before this postseason started, I thought the Eagles would go 4-0. I thought they were the best team in football. I thought they were built – I thought they were the best team in the trenches.
Yeah.
By far, all year long.
Yeah.
And Saquon was a benefactor of that. He could easily be the MVP of this league, easily. And that's not to knock any quarterback or anybody else. But I thought this is where the Eagles are better than everybody else. And I have no reason to change it. I feel the same way about Patrick Mahomes. Like, I've bet against him before, and I look like an idiot. And we might come back and be, you know, eating humble pie next week, and that's fine. We'll do that. But I felt like the Eagles, and I said it matter-of-factly when this thing started on a variety of different shows and podcasts, whatever. I said the Eagles are going to go 4-0, and I have no reason to believe that they're not going to finish this what they've started. I thought Howie Roseman should be the executive of the year.
Yes.
What he did this offseason to get Saquon from the Giants, Zach Bond, what do you name it, to draft Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell. I thought this is what championship teams should look like.
I'm with you. We're going to find out Sunday, and then we are back next week with you to not only talk about it, but also, unfortunately, talk about the offseason, because that means no games on Sunday or Thursday or Monday. And we're going to have to wait, you know, another 5 or 6 months to get back to that. But the good news is there's going to be so much football and so much conversation about the movement around the NFL, and you know, this is always exciting. But we hope we get a great game on Sunday. Guys, thanks for being here. Brian Baldinger, follow him. Check out his breakdowns. You see his shirt there with the hand. You see that. That's real. Follow Jason as well. Follow me at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. And stay connected, guys, as we talk about football. Have a great Super Bowl Sunday, and we will talk to you guys next week here on In the Huddle.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.